We got a message from a guy this weekend who's a Muslim. Can't believe you're doing this, Vinny. It's because of you that the shooting happened. Yeah. You're the one that's...
What?
Do you think he's a demon? Do you think that guy's a demon?
Demon, because Adam doesn't serve Christ. Adam Sosnick, right? That's his name. You should exorcise Adam off the set. Adam Sosnick should be exorcised in the name of Jesus Christ and removed from the set of the PBD podcast. If I give you the wrong information and that brings you to some type of conclusion, I'm responsible because information is the most powerful thing.
You think so?
That's what I think. If God himself came down, then we should be following his example to the T. God doesn't pray. God gets prayed to. And these are questions Vinny can never answer. Neither Teal Bro is building Shaitan's system on the earth. Palantir. It doesn't matter if it was...
So that's what the protests are about?
That's not what they're about. That was the straw.
That was the straw that broke the camel's...
was training the Bosnian Serb forces. You do know this,
Many people don't know that, wow.
You knew this. I'm sure you did.
Hearing that, but in practicality, the churches are still standing while the masjids...
$1.6 billion. Deal signed, done, delivered. They're already working together. In my opinion, he's either paid or he's intelligent to create chaos in America. And they own it. What do you think? What do you think? You don't see the game that's being played on you? We're not your enemies. We don't hate you. It becomes numb. It'd be as if you never prayed or never knew anything about Islam. Spirit. That's why I tell people, if you're on the deen.
This is the deen. This is the deen. The deen.
Assalamu alaikum. Beck, lover, in the house. How are you doing?
Doing good, brother.
Mir.
Alaykum salam, bro. Alhamdulillah.
How's it going?
Mir, bro. Kakusi, in your language.
Alhamdulillah. Dobro,
how's
dobro.
Everything?
Everything is good.
It's finally, man. I'll be honest with you, Eddie. I don't know what took so long, bro. But we're finally here right now.
Allah made it happen. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, we start the broadcast already. The phones are going off. My phone went off first. Yours is going off because they're trying to stop us, bro.
Let's go ahead. I'm going to get into this clip. And you're familiar with this individual. And I want to go ahead and have us react to it together, and we'll go from there.
I don't think, I disagree with Tucker. I don't think he's a demon. I disagree with a lot of things that some of these other guys say. I don't think they're demons. I don't think Mark Levin is a demon. I just think he's a pro-Israel, Israel-first type of a guy, and that's his position. You know, we got a message from a guy this weekend who's a Muslim. Can't believe you're doing this, Vinny. It's because of you that the shooting happened. Yeah. You're the one that's...
What?
Do you think he's a demon? Do you think that guy's a demon?
I don't think he's necessarily a demon, Pat, but what is his soul captured by and who is he answering
to? Not the one you and I are free of.
100%.
But guess what? That's his choice.
Very true. But
that's his choice.
But I think you are serving something... If I'm serving Jesus Christ and God, Pat, and you're serving something else, even if you're blindly and you don't know and your soul's captured, you're a soldier for the devil.
But that's funny because then I guess your co-host is serving a demon because Adam doesn't serve Christ. Adam Sosnick, right? That's his name. So he's
that's
there.
A good catch right there.
Yeah, well, I mean that's your co-host. So I guess your co-host, who's Jewish, I guess he serves the devil. Now I know that they're talking about you.
How do you know that?
Who else are going to talk to you? The only am I wrong or no?
Maybe.
Who else are they going to be talking about?
Alhamdulillah, thanks to all your continuous, ongoing support, your reoccurring contributions, we've been able to come this far. Quick update, we've opened the masjid, Jumu'ah, five daily salah, alhamdulillah. And right now, I'm in just one of the new recording studios here at the Deen Center, continuing the mission of educating humanity, clearing the misconceptions about Islam and Muslims. But this work isn't done, it's ongoing. And what better time to show your love and support? So click the link below, donate right now, support the Deen Center, Masjid, and Mega Dawah Center. Invest in your hereafter by investing in the work of Dawah, helping to bring people closer to their true purpose in life and connecting them with their creator, God Almighty, Allah.
I actually like Vinny. I think he's actually a really good dude. I'm very disappointed in Patrick Bet David. I think he has this very, let me wash and clean everything that Israel does. And he only... will say anything negative because the outrage from the public, he has no choice. He's got this very, soft touch when it comes to them, you know? And everyone's starting to see the double standards and the hypocrisy of people that claim to care about America first and this first and that first. And when it comes to Israel, it seems like that passion fades away very quickly.
These are the things that I want to touch upon. He mentioned demon possessed, right? He mentioned, do you think that that guy is demon-possessed? What's his soul captured by? And what else did he say? Not the one you and I are free of. If I'm serving Jesus Christ and God, you're a soldier of, if you're not, you're a soldier of the devil. So that was a really good catch that he's not, but.
They should exorcise Adam off the set. Adam Sostek should be exorcised in the name of Jesus Christ and removed from the set of the PBD podcast. Because I don't know how else you could interpret that. So imagine you're Adam and your co-host is saying, unless you serve Christ, you're the devil.
But don't they curse Christ?
In certain versions of Judaism, and if they follow,
that he's in the hellfire, and he's
if they follow the Talmud, even I'm going to be honest, even I didn't know that until after October 7th. I had never read
most
the book.
People didn't know.
No, that. I didn't know. I want to thank Candace Owens for that one. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Candace. That was shocking to me, but I did know of the book, and I knew it wasn't a book of God. That's why I never really invested any time with it, because that book came about, to my understanding, while they were reconquered by the Babylonians, if I'm not mistaken. So what happened was, based from, you know, and again, may Allah forgive us, brother. I always say this on every pod. I'm not an imam. I don't consider myself a scholar. Have I studied the faith intensely my entire life? Yes, I have. But I say that also as a protection, because in our faith, we have a responsibility when we dispense information. And if I give you the wrong information and that brings you to some type of conclusion, I'm responsible, because information is the most powerful thing a human being can possess and control. So us as Muslims, we have a duty when we speak to speak the truth to the best of our ability and to let our audience know that we are human, we can make mistakes, and that you should always double check and triple check not only what Beck says. I beg you to double check and triple check for two reasons. One, I want to make sure I didn't hurt you with the information I gave you. And two, if I'm saying something that's wrong, you're going to help correct me. I've been corrected many times by my audience, and I thank them for that. I don't take offense to it, because that means you have an ego then. If you can't look at what your audience is telling, especially if you're wrong, and especially as a Muslim and you're someone that's in the public, then shame on you. Then you need to check your niyyah in that moment, check your intention.
Very important, yeah.
So for me, to my understanding, all the years I've studied, we know also in the Quran that they changed these books, okay? And they try to create this Islamic dilemma, people like Sam Schumann and all these clowns that literally lied to their public. I guess they forgot to read the Ten Commandments when God said, thou shall not bear false witness. And that also ties into what? False testimony, spreading information that's not correct, slandering people, lying about things. So for me, to my understanding, they started playing with the book of Moses, peace and blessings be upon him. We know they altered it. Moses couldn't have written that book if he wrote about his own death. That's all you need to know. So to my understanding, they started playing around with the book, and God punished them again. The Babylonians conquered them, and they were under brutal oppression. They were cut off from the Torah. They were cut off. They weren't allowed to practice under the Babylonians. That's where a lot of this dark stuff came into Judaism, right? So to my understanding, that's where the Talmud was compiled, if I'm not mistaken, Eddie. I would like to double check. I don't know if you could just, I want to, again, I've read these things, it's been a while. That's my understanding where a lot of this came, the Kabbalah, okay, learning the arts, black magic. We know Babylon, the Babylonian culture, they were into that type of stuff, witchcraft and all that stuff. So, and then Persia conquered Babylon, and then they sent them back to, and then they built the second temple. Then the Messiah came, peace and blessings be upon him, Isa, Jesus. They mocked that messenger of God the same way they mocked and killed John the Baptist, peace be upon him, one of the most important messengers also in our faith, also as Muslims. And that's where a lot of this deviation came. I always tell the Christians and the Jews, if the Israelites would have did their job and they would have transmitted the message that God sent through them, yeah, they were chosen, not above humanity. They were chosen for humanity to deliver the message that there's only one God. And it was the same message from Adam all the way up until Christ, peace be upon him. And what did they do? They mocked the prophets of God. They changed the books of God. That's where a lot of this deviation came from. And that's why us as Muslims, we get scared also when we give information to avoid doing bid'ah and changing the original teachings. So we're in a time where there's mass confusion. People have no idea what's going on. You got people like PBD spreading, in my opinion, Islamic hatred. Clearly, he hates Muslims. In my opinion, Patrick Bet-David 100% hates Muslims. Now, I understand he experienced...
You really feel that?
Yeah. In his heart of hearts, absolutely. He blames the Islamic Revolution in Iran on Islam and this. Again, and nothing against the Shias. I'm not here to bash them. They're a minority of our faith. They represent 10%.
Is that why he has all the misconceptions? Because of his experience with a certain group of
family was ousted out, the Islamic Revolution. Patrick Bet-David should have been more pissed at three-letter agencies that helped overthrow the government before the Ayatollahs took over. We, America, this was leaked 2 years ago by the CIA. This is public information. We're not saying anything crazy. It was leaked. And I'm sorry, released, you know, information. If you Google Iran coup, the CIA was involved in toppling that government, which led to the Shah, which led to the Ayatollah. So we indirectly are the reason that government is in power today. So if Patrick Bet-David hates anybody, he should hate the three-letter agencies of our country that got involved in Iran's business when they were so modern and women were wearing dresses and dancing and all that. It wasn't the Muslims that overthrew their government. It was the three-letter agencies here in the U.S. That's a fact. Public information. So, and again, the way Shias practice and, you know, observe their faith, you know, and again, they respected me when I was in Dearborn to make the film with Sonny. And again, I'm not here to judge them. That's between them and Allah. The same way Allah will judge us. You know, I think we have bigger fish to fry as Sunni and Shia. We have way bigger problems than the lineage and this and that. And okay, there's way bigger fish to fry. A lot of people are dying. Bombs are dropping in Iran also. So for me, I think that's why he has animosity towards Islam. I think he judges all Muslims based on his experience in Iran and the Ayatollahs and whatever he knows or understands of the Shia faith, you know their interpretation of Islam. Because the Quran is the same, right? To me, that's the miracle of Islam.
Yeah.
Sunni, Shia, we have some differences. One we pray Quran, a little different. Yeah. But every time the Christians broke up, there became different versions of their books.
You cannot
say the Douay Bible is the same as the Protestant Bible. It's not. It's missing entire chapters, entire books. Those are no longer translations or interpretations. Those are versions. Anyone that doesn't understand that the Quran is only original in its Arabic, every Muslim on earth knows that, whether they're Bosnian, whether they're Albanian, whether they're white, whatever culture and background, we all pray in Arabic, not because Arabs are superior to us. The Prophet Muhammad told us, peace be upon him, that an Arab is not superior to a non-Arab. So every Muslim knows that. As a matter of fact, the Arabs will be judged even more harshly than the non-Arabs because the book came in their language. So it's not an advantage, it's actually a disadvantage. It's actually easier for us to get into heaven because we don't have the same interpretation, you know, to be able to read it in that original language. It's the same thing in Bosnian and Albania. If I translate something from English into Albanian or vice versa, a lot of those means, I can translate it word for word, but it loses its integrity. Yeah. You know, the Albanians have an expression like, ta hong sha zamran. In Albania, it means, may I eat your heart. Now, if I walked up to a woman, let's say, and I said, you know, I think she's, you know, I'm not saying you should do this, haram, but I'm just giving an example. If I saw, like, you know, if someone was trying to flirt with a woman, they would say, may I eat your heart? She would probably look at the man like he's a psychopath. But I translated it word for word, my brother Eddie. Literally word for word.
That's
translated.
In Albania, makes sense.
It lost
lose the meaning,
all of its meaning,
all
right?
All meaning's lost.
So if I go to an Albanian tahong shah zamran, many ways it could be used. It could be used for a father complimenting his child. Let's say your kid was respectful, got straight A's, and then you see your kid and you say, oh, tahong shah zamran. Like, it's a sign of endearment. Mm-hmm. So it makes no sense in English. What non-Muslims need to understand is that these books, first of all, Jesus Christ did not speak English. He did not speak, to my knowledge, Greek. He might have known some words because of the empire or whatever, but his predominant language was Aramaic. Aramaic is a Semitic language. You're reading a book that went from Aramaic and ancient Greek into Latin into English. Ask any linguist that's being honest. When you convert from one language to another, you lose 20 to 40% of the original meaning. That's where a lot of this nonsense came from. Purposely mistranslated. Purposely leaving books out of their stuff. So there is no debate. Sam Schumann, how about the Christian dilemma? Explain to me how your Bible's changed so many times, bro. And, you know, debating, you know, you could be telling the truth, but when you debate with someone like him, okay, there's no integrity there. There's no, it's just... It's debating is not about who's right or wrong. It's about who looks like he's right or wrong. It's about the delivery and the punchlines. Yeah. Okay, it's like boxing, right? Is what it is. It's not about who's actually being honest
no.
and the audience pulling out Google and searching the things. It's about shock and awe and taking things that need more context to explain and then, you know, releasing inflammatory comments. I always tell even the Christians, please go Google everything I'm telling you. Go Google it. Please go look. And they make fun of me in the comments. Oh, you said go Google it. Yeah. I'm telling you, you shouldn't believe anything I say. Go look for yourself.
Check the receipts, yeah.
Go look for yourself. Because you're so weak, you need to listen to people on the internet or whatever it is, or everyone else without using your own brain that God gave you. So we live in a time of, you know, you would think, Eddie, with all the technology, in seconds you can pull up information. Me and you have to go to a library. I need this book by such and such. Pull up, open up the thing, try to find the index card. It's in row of 6, aisle 27. And if one stupid person didn't put the book back where it belongs, you didn't find the book. That's what we had to do to try to go get knowledge, our generation.
Yeah.
This generation has it at their fingertips and they're dumber than ever, stupider than ever. Yeah. It's amazing to me how dumb people are with all the advantages they have. Yeah. The amount of stupidity is spreading.
Tell me this, back to the Patrick Ben David, this thing, I want you to help us understand, how did you take this, what has his soul been captured by? They're trying to paint, not the one you and I are free of. And so when they make us like, I want to unpackage that.
Trying to say that we were following the devil.
Yeah. So
Shaitan.
So let's talk about that. Like, you know, when you open up the Quran, what does it tell us to do? Everything opposite to that. We can give examples of that. So because it's like this is us versus them now. We're some kind of pagan. What do they see us as? What does Patrick Ben David
see? They literally see us as devil worshippers.
You think so?
That's what I think.
Yeah?
Meanwhile, over and over, our book commands us to seek shelter from God, from
Satan.
Let's
go over a few things that the Quran keeps us from doing. What, you were just going to name something?
Constantly seeking shelter from protection in God from the accursed
A'udhu
devil.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir
rajim. A'udhu billahi
we seek refuge from God from the accursed
seek
devil.
Seek refuge okay. from God from the cursed devil.
Yeah.
Glorifying his name. Starting everything in God's
glorifying
name.
God's name.
Everything starts with his name.
How many gods?
There's only one, bro.
One. Can you divide him like a pie into three or four?
No, you can't
or five?
Divide him into three. And he's half a man half the time and a ghost the other time. And he's jumping around. And, you know, here's my challenge to them. And again, I'm not here to bash the Christians, man.
No. This is just educational.
I just want responses.
Yeah.
You're telling me that God came down as a man. Okay? That's what they say. And you're telling me he came down as a Jewish man.
So you're worshiping a Jew.
Okay. 100% you're worshiping a Jew. They say it themselves.
So Vinny's worshiping a Jewish man.
Vinny, who is pushing this, whatever, I don't know. To me, there's no logic to it. He gets down and prays to a man that lived his life as a Jew. At the same time, he'll go to the pizzeria and pick up a slice of pepperoni pizza and eat it when Jesus Christ, in their faith, didn't eat pork. So now I want to understand, God himself comes down, doesn't eat pork, but then tells you it's okay to eat pork? How does that make sense? How does that work? Because we admire the prophets for being the example to humanity in the flesh. We would say God would never come in the flesh because even in Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, if I'm not mistaken, when Moses was talking to God through the burning bush, because the burning bush was a veil, because no human being in the material world, nothing, not even mountains can withstand the glory of God. And Musa, peace be upon him, Moses spoke to God directly and he asked God in Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, and I want to see your face, God. And God responded in the Old Testament, for no one can see my face and live.
Live, yeah.
Now you tell me, as someone that calls himself a Christian, how a man could come down claiming to be God in their faith. And that means that he also wrote the Old Testament, right? That means that Jesus, if he's God, that means he wrote the Bible. So why would God tell his prophet, you can't see me, none of you can see me in human flesh, but then God says, not only are you going to see me, I'm going to come down in the flesh. It's impossible. It's contradictory. It's hypocritical. It makes no sense. No sense at all. You have to literally shut your logic off completely. The same logic that God gave you and put into your mind, where in the Quran, God tells you over and over again to use the intellect that he gave you to find him. That through your intellect and your reflection, you will see his signs and you will know that he exists because you will never see him in the flesh. No human being can see him in the flesh. So to me, it's Vinny will worship a human being who lived and practiced his life as an ancient Israelite, because even the word Jew didn't exist. They were Israelites. They spoke Hebrew. Following this, worshiping this human being who lived his life as an Israelite, as a Jew, as we would call it today, did not eat pork, got circumcised, followed kosher, kept the commandments of the Old Testament. Meanwhile, none of them do. So then what? So then if God came down, he's the greatest example. Forget the prophets. If God himself came down, then we should be following his example to the T, because he came down himself. And yet none of them, the majority of them, don't even follow his example. If anyone's following the example of Christ, it is some Jews. Yes, we got to give them that. They don't associate with God, and they don't create idols, and they get circumcised, and they don't eat pork, and some of their women cover, right? But the greatest, largest group that follow his example, undeniably, unless you're lying to yourself, are the Muslims, those that submit to the Creator, those who bow with their head to the ground like Jesus did in Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 to 39, where he came and was hiding from the people that were persecuting him. He didn't come to die for me. If he was coming to die for me, he's the Alpha and Omega. He knows the past, he knows the future. Why was he hiding? If he was God, he would know no matter where he hides, he's going to get rounded up and thrown on that cross. Why was he hiding in Matthew 26? Why was he praying to be saved? And how does a God pray to himself? God doesn't pray. God gets prayed to. And these are questions Vinny can never answer unless he's being honest to himself. Why did God put his head in Matthew 26 on the ground the way the Muslims pray? And I'll give it to the ancient Ethiopians too. They pray that way too. So if anybody's upholding the life and the energy of Christ, undeniably it is the Muslims, and especially our women who encompass everything his mother stood for.
That's enough proof right
Peace
there.
Peace and blessings be upon
him. Worshiping the Creator, not the creation. The thing you just mentioned to prove that we're not following the demon, like they're saying, like we're demon possessed.
I think he's confusing. With Paul. Uh-huh. You know, Paul is a man who never met Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Saul, they call him. Paul was a man who was massacring the first Christians. And he's on the road to Damascus and he sees a being of light. And it was Christ, supposedly. Which, first of all, that wouldn't make him, you know, that would make Paul, technically, for using the terminology of prophet, he's not called a prophet. If Paul saw Christ directly and spoke to him, that means that Paul technically should be classified as a prophet in Christianity. That's another contradiction. If you speak to God, you are now a prophet or a messenger, or both. They don't call Paul a prophet or a messenger, even though technically they say he saw Jesus, mm-hmm. right? And if he had that much authority where he wrote almost 30% of the New Testament, a man that was massacring Christians, persecuting them, and then Jesus appears in light. First of all, in their own book, it says that the devil appears in light. The devil appears in light. We know that the devil can shapeshift. We know that the jinn can shapeshift. My theory, Allah knows best. These are theories using our best, you know, thoughts with how our faith explains things. Sometimes people see visions, right? We know in Islam that in your last moments of death, the devil comes for you. He tries one last time to get you right before you die. We know that they can shapeshift. We know that shaitan, a'udhu billah, he shapeshifted amongst the children of Cain to teach them how to play instruments. Yes or no? So we know that they can shapeshift. They call them all kinds of names, aliens, mm-hmm. Anunnaki, and all these funny terms that I think are done on purpose, by the way. Yeah. To convince humanity to worship aliens, I think there's an agenda to make human beings believe they were created by aliens and not by Allah. I think that's really what's going on. I think they're up to something. And I think the jinn are going to come into this dimension, but Allah knows best. I think they already figured it out, bro. There's a reason why they're releasing all these files. They're preconditioning for some type of great deception. But getting back to the point, Paul's, I call him the great deceiver, mm-hmm. okay? If he was talking to Jesus and Jesus, Paul, why thou persecute me? If he spoke to him directly, that means he was a prophet. They accept a book from a man that was murdering the first followers of Christ. We know that many of the first followers of Christ did not recognize him as divine. Some of them were called the Ebionites. They were hunted down and rounded up and massacred. They said that he was the Messiah, but he wasn't God. All this God stuff came later. And because of people like Paul, who took his message, who deviated the truth, we know that the Roman Empire, okay, is who spread Christianity. Christ did not come for the Romans. He says it in his own book, in the New Testament, right? I didn't come for the Romans. I came for the lost sheep of Israel. I came to bring the Jews back on the path of God. What did they decide to do based on their version of what happened? We know that God saved them. We know when he got on his knees and begged Allah to forgive him like he did in Matthew 26, we know Allah answered that prayer. And Allah tells us the second part of the story in the Quran. You think you killed him. You think you crucified him. But I made it seem like that because of their wickedness, of not accepting the prophets of God, of changing the books of God, God led them astray. Mm. God cut them off from their chosen status where they would continue to receive revelation, and he crossed over to the other side of Abraham because Abraham had two sons, peace be upon him. He had the house of Isaac and the house of Ishmael. And when they, the house of Israel, fell in their corruption and their mocking of God from the golden calf all the way through history, it's very well documented in chapter Baqarah. I highly invite my Jewish brothers and sisters to read the chapter, the cow or the heifer in the Holy Quran, because God's talking to you directly. Literally reminds you of the covenant. Literally explains all the favors he gave upon your nation and all the times you guys rebelled against him. And the last great rebellion with the prophets was the Messiah. You didn't accept him. You're still waiting for him to come, your Messiah. We all know that that's Dajjal. So I would invite my Jewish brothers and sisters who haven't really studied Islam, who probably, listen, most of the Jews I met in America are secular. I don't have any problem with my Jewish friends. I grew up with Russian Jews, and I have family that's Jewish, okay? And I got no beef with them.
Albania, Bosnia.
Saved them. Saved them.
Saved the
Albania
Jews.
Had zero casualties. Yeah. My grandmother's brothers were hung by the Nazis. And I got to sit here and listen to them bash the very faith of my people. Again, not all Albanians are Muslim and they get mad. The majority, okay, at that time were Muslim. And it was Christians that saved them too, if I'm being fair to history. Because got to be fair, bro. Got to, right? Many Albanian Christians saved Jews during the Holocaust too. But if we're programmed to hate Jews, we would have let them die.
Which we're not.
There would have been at least one Albanian Muslim that would have been like,
but that's the
there's Jews under this building. Come get them right now.
But that's not what happened. Modern day propaganda, right? Islam teaches.
Why do you think they never made a film about it? Mm-hmm. How many World War II movies have we seen? And not a single film was made about the country that even Benjamin Netanyahu, you can pull up the clip, put it in later if you want. Benjamin Netanyahu standing next to Eddie Rama, who God willing they will remove from power, him and the entire government. Corrupt human beings that work with the elitists, that work with Satanists, the Flamingo Revolution's in full effect, power to Albania. Even Edi Rama, the Prime Minister of Albania, stood next to Netanyahu a few years back and Bibi looks at him and says, thanks to you guys, not a single Jew died in Albania. How did you repay the Albanians? Did you guys call your cousins in Hollywood and make at least one film to honor the Albanians? One movie. They've made movies about everything you can think of in World War II. Hitler sneezed, 10 Jews survived. Movie. Hitler farted, 10 people survived, movie. The people that saved you. My grandmother's brothers were hung by the Nazis, bro, in northern Albania, in Tropoja, in the northern region. Did they make a movie about that? But they made the movie Taken, though, to make us look like animals and that we're pimps and drug dealers and mafia. And every culture has rotten apples. But not one film about the people that saved them, bro. What else you want to know? You know why? Anything that can positively even show even a couple Muslims looking good. Even though the whole story is not about Muslims, they'll never do it.
One last question about the PBD, and we'll move on from there, is did you notice before that before Trump came in, that PBD was kind of inclining to connect with Muslims? He was, because Muslims were on the front line pushing back with all of the sexualization of the kids in the schools, and he was like, why are they voting left? And then they were a little more sympathetic. They were kind of like, you know, not as aggressive against Islam and Muslims now. Did you see that shift?
Yeah, there was a shift. There was a shift in Trump. There was a shift in a lot of people. What the American people understand is that Muslims are conservative.
More than the conservatives.
Completely. If you're going to judge Muslims by voting, you've already missed.
Yeah.
I think the reason a lot of Middle Eastern, you know, Arab Americans vote left is because they're hoping the wars will end. Right, voting in this country to me has failed. At this point, I don't think the American people are being represented at all. I think the American people were in trouble. Okay, leaving faith out of it, we're in trouble. But I think what people, you know, don't understand is that if you have your family in a part of the world that's been under attack for 30 years, or you're Afghani, your people have never known peace in the last 50 years. No peace, you know? So what Americans fail to understand is not that the Muslim is voting left. I consider myself full-blown libertarian at this point as far as politics. Mm-hmm. Independent all the way. I cannot cast a vote for these people anymore. These people are evil. We have a choice between Coke or Pepsi. Which one you want? They can't agree on anything, but they can always agree on more war. They give us ideological crumbs. Let's be real, as Americans, leaving religion out of this, if a kid chops his wee-wee off or not, it's not going to change policy in the Middle East. It's not going to solve the national debt problem that America has. It's not going to fix inflation and make food cheaper to put back on the table. What it's going to do is create a nice distraction that they can sensationalize so that me and you, left and right, are arguing over whether a boy can chop his piece off or not. And I don't know if you have to cut that word out, but right, that's what we've been debating for 10 years. Is that going to change the world? Eddie, let's be real. Is that going to fix the Middle East and the inflation and the wars and the problems that Americans have? No. But we were focusing the media for 10 years, whether a boy can mutilate himself or not, is a better word, whether a child can mutilate themselves or not. But that's not going to solve the Middle East. That's not going to solve taxes. That's not going to solve my disappearing pension. So they got the, I call low IQ, very low IQ people, focusing on this because it hits a nerve for someone. Add gas to that fire while they're robbing all of us, while they're using our men and women in armed forces to destroy the world. And that's what's been going on, brother. Distract while they destroy. Distract while they destroy. And we know there's a more devious agenda. But by the time my fellow Americans that are not Muslim realize the game that was played on them and that the last person they ever had to worry about was the Muslim, it's going to be too late for America.
Some Muslims, some prominent conservatives, people call themselves conservative Christians, and others, like, for example, we're seeing a major shift now. You got Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Megyn Kelly slowly coming on.
Bro.
You were actually with the conservative twins.
You've been on that show yet?
No.
No, you got to go on there, dude. They're awesome, bro.
They're very
And they didn't have a deep knowledge of Islam.
Yeah.
At all.
But just like the average person. But now they get to connect with yourself, with a Muslim.
Yeah. Awesome, and brothers, man.
Yeah.
You can see what they've heard.
Yeah.
Listen, we all get effects subconsciously. There's a reason why Coca-Cola spends $11 billion. And Coca-Cola already has a massive market, right? Why are they still paying $11 billion? Out of sight, out of mind. But it's also insight in the mind, right? The more I constantly pump something out, the more I push a certain message, it's going to affect people's psyche. That's a fact. It's been proven already. Why do they need to make jingles and songs and advertisements? It's the same thing with propaganda. You say it enough, enough of the population believes it. Enough of the population absorbs it. Okay, you've seen the shift online. X is one of the most toxic places on earth as far as social media. Okay, I posted for years on X, Twitter, Elon Musk.
Very toxic, yeah. It's a lot of bots on there. And
if you scroll down on my wall on X for years, messages of positivity. Muslims and Christians and Jews were not enemies, right? That was one of the first videos I ever went viral.
Someone's controlling that algorithm big time.
The minute I said, let me try something. I can never break 10,000 views. Let me try something. Wallahi, here in front of all you, I swear on Allah's name, I'm not lying to you. It's still on my wall. Muslims are evil. And then I would put everything else that the other group's doing.
Yeah.
Okay? The chosen ones. Everything that they're actually doing. And then I would correct it with a hey at grok. Just because I don't want... And it was funny because Muslims were like, why is he saying this? I knew he was a double agent. I'm like, no, I'm going to prove something now. So for 1 week, I posted anti-Muslim rhetoric. Viral.
Wow.
And then I went back to normal. And then I said, look, you see? So it's been... I have not had a viral post since that 1 week where I tried that, and I proved it. It's documented. So Elon Musk is not our friend, bro. I don't trust him at all. He was just captured in that meeting with Peter Thiel, okay? Secrets, you heard about that?
No.
Whoa, brother.
What happened?
Ay, chihuahua, bro. We're in trouble, bro. So there was Peter Thiel, Secret Society. Mm-hmm. All the techs.
For people that don't know, who's Peter Thiel?
Peter Thiel, bro, is building Shaitan's system on the earth. Mm-hmm. Palantir. It's going to spy on people like me and you and Marcus if we're safe or not safe. And if they succeed in this plan, and they're so close, bro. Right now, humanity is waking up, not just to Islam. It's called the Great Awakening. There's a movement called the Great Awakening, okay? I think Islam plays a significant role in it. Christianity plays a significant role in it. You know, anytime you're elevating spiritually, you're going to start seeking the truth. You know, I'm not worried about Islam proven itself to people. Because anybody that wants to look can find it. We don't need to knock on doors, okay? We're forced to do this work because of all the hatred. Because of all, people are losing their lives, bro. 100 people could have died in San Diego, man. How about the millions that lost their lives across the seas because of these policies that are rooted in Islamic hatred and hatred of Arabs and Muslims? I'm not Arab.
So Elon Musk hooks up with Peter Thiel?
Elon Musk, Zuckerberg, Thiel, all together, they've been meeting constantly. Well, you would think that they're competitors. They're different companies. Why are they all having dinner together, hanging out together? Because I'll tell you what the plan is. Sea, sky, land. We know that the Antichrist, this goes out to the Christians, the Dajjal, to the Muslims. We know that this being will have power on this earth. And that power, I truly starting to believe, and I think you may feel the same way, will be the technology that will get. He'll be the greatest deceiver, I believe, through tech. And maybe he'll have some powers. I'm not sure. We know that he's going to command the sky to rain. It's going to rain, right? It's going to be a time period where the world's in great drought and chaos and all this stuff happens. These people are building a technocracy over our heads, literally a jail. It'll make communism look like Disney World. And I'm very anti-communist, right? I hate communism. So for me, it's these people are supposed to be private companies. They're technically supposed to be in competition with each other. Like X and Instagram, they should be competition, right? They're both social media. I can post videos. Why are they together, bro? Why are they all together? Elon Musk changed. Elon Musk was speaking out. Go look at him a few years ago. He said a few comments, this and that. What do? They took him, Ben Shapiro, come on the march, took him to Auschwitz, took him to Israel. All of a sudden, his song and dance changed completely.
Yeah.
A lot of good did come from him, from releasing, you know, some free speech. I definitely believe algorithms are pushing certain agendas more than others, but at least it gave us a little bit of a voice. Or as Bassem Youssef says, free speech with terms and conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So 100%, in my opinion, Allah knows best, there is definitely a plan between these technocrats and the government and, in my opinion, the Zionists to create a technocracy. Because what's happening right now? Everyone's waking up. Everyone's finally starting. I've never seen it. Eddie, you've never seen it like this? I've never seen it like this. Finally, they're waking up and they're going, wait, the Muslims. No. It's you pushing adult films on my children. It's you that's pushing gambling on my children. It's you that's pushing alcohol on my children. It's you that's pushing drugs on my children. It's you that's lending us money that's sucking the very blood out of our sweat that we can't even enjoy the money that we make. It's you that's creating inflation. It's you that's sending our soldiers overseas to die and lose their lives for nonsense in Afghanistan, for nonsense in Iraq. It's you that wants to send our children, our men and boys in America to go die in Iran for a war that does not benefit the American people. I have a cousin that's a Marine, brother. He's retired now. Did two tours in Fallujah. Went there to train the police during the Iraq war. Okay, battling PTSD to this day. He thought they were going there to liberate them from Saddam and help them. And I went to the 250th anniversary of the Marines. I think it was 250 in Dallas. There was a couple hundred Marines there. They all felt the same way. We were used. We were betrayed. We were lied to. Imagine these soldiers that risked their lives. And the Battle of Fallujah was horrible. But they all, most of them, regretted going. Felt like they were used by our leaders that are supposed to protect them too. And they want to do the same thing. Why? Because he wants to go to war with Iran? Go to war with Iran. You got Patrick Bet-David. He hates the regime. Send your sons. You got 1 million Persians living in America. They're all over Beverly Hills drinking coffee and enjoying themselves. You guys grab rifles. You already got the weapons anyway. We're giving you free weapons all day. All day through Israel. You guys have billions of dollars. We'll give you weapons, no problem. You Persian Jews that are driving around in your Mercedes in Beverly Hills. You Persians that are not Jewish. You want to go fight and liberate. Hey, when Kosovo War happened, Bosnian War, plenty of Bosnians left and went back to defend their homeland. Plenty of Albanians, Atlantic Battalion, they got on boats and planes. They went back to Albania to fight for Kosovo. You guys want the regime to fall? You guys go fight your war. You got plenty of money and plenty of American weapons. But not a single American should lose their life in Iran, bro. Not one. Not one. Tired of this. Most Americans are waking up. We're tired of war, bro.
Yeah.
All we've known is war. All we've known since the Iraq War is all I can remember is war as an American.
Tell us, Beck, what's happening right now in Albania? And then you also have that's funding.
Yep. The people that want to wipe us off.
Yeah. They're in Serbia.
So those that don't know my background, I was born and raised in the U.S. My family fought against the communist regime on my mother's side. My dad had to leave what was former Yugoslavia at that time because Serbs started cracking down and it became really bad, especially under Milosevic. And they came to the U.S. for a better life. So I'm the son of two immigrants that left oppression in the Balkans. And Albania had 40, 50 years where it was sealed off from the entire world. It was the only atheist country on earth, not allowed to practice any faith, even though the population was predominantly Muslim before the communists took over. And you weren't allowed to go to mosque or church. If they found a Quran or a Bible, you were dead, bro. Or they put you in prison. You were finished. You were cooked if they found a religious text. I am proud of the Albanians who never fought over religion internally. You know, we always got along with our Catholic neighbors and our, you know, Orthodox brothers and sisters. So, you know, Albanians, they have that. We never went to war over faith. But, so Albania, after communism collapsed, basically the communists still kept power, bro. They just put their puppets in. They control everything behind the scenes. They give the illusion of freedom, corruption. That is, in Serbia, they have the same problem. Serbia has been protesting since before us, if I'm going to be fair to them. They've been protesting since before Albania Flamingo Revolution. You have the same type of corruption all throughout the Balkans, brother. Former communist countries, the oligarchs just shift. They give the illusion that this party is enemies with that party. But you go on the coast all along the Adriatic River, the Adriatic Sea. You go on the Adriatic Sea in the summer, you're going to see these same guys that are in front of the cameras act like they're enemies. They're popping the most expensive bottles of wine all along the Adriatic and Ionian Rivieras. And they in camera act like they're enemies. You see them popping bottles. I saw in my own eyes, bro. Popping left and right in Albania, Montenegro, all over the Balkans. The Balkans has the youngest population in Europe. These are people that have always been pinned against each other. And now I'm starting to see the picture. I understand historically we've had problems with Serbs and this and that or whatever. I think the young people are sick and tired of it. What good is Albania or Kosovo or Serbia if everyone's leaving because they can't even afford to live or survive or even have a life? No, all these wars have only benefited the West, creating division between the people of the Balkans, starting hatred and fighting and killing so they can screw all of us together at the same time. All the youth of Serbia, Albania, Kosovo, Bosnia, they flee to come to Western countries because they're getting paid $400 a month if they have a job. You're worried about Bosnia, Albania, Serbia. Your people can't even sustain your own people. And you're thinking more war and that's going to fix everything? The young people are tired, bro. Especially in Albania. They're tired of it. This guy wants to give off a big piece of our land to Jared Kushner. It doesn't matter if it was...
That's what the protests are about.
That's not what they're about. That was the straw.
That was the straw that broke the camel's back.
The Sazan Island was the straw
Sazan
that
Island.
Broke...
That's an island?
The Albanian government's back, bro.
That was what did it.
That was... the corruption's been going on from day one.
So the layman can understand. So that's a island, belongs to Albania.
Off the coast of the Vlora region of Albania.
And they came.
Gorgeous
area. And they sold it off?
They just gave it off. To my understanding, it was state-owned land. Because under communism, everything is owned by the state.
Yeah.
So if it's owned by the state and now communism collapsed, that means it's owned by the people of Albania. That should be turned into a national park.
So that's not for sale then? That should not be for sale?
No, obviously. It should not be for sale. And the way he did it, and again, it doesn't matter, even though I'm not a fan of Jared Kushner at all, okay? It could have been Michael Jordan. It could have been Eddie. It could have been Beck, and the people would have reacted the same way. Yeah. They've had enough. The youth don't have work. They don't have good future. You're selling off national treasures to foreigners. People lost their land during communism, still haven't got it back. My family has deeds that when the dictator took over, they came, they said, this is not your land no more. State owns everything. Out. They resettled my family into camps. They never, still to this day, have not gotten back their land since before communism. But Edi Rama and the government could figure out how to give off an entire block of Albanian land to foreigners instead of fixing the land disputes that exist within our nation that would bring peace and calm and make it easier to do business. That's what Edi Rama should have been focusing on if he was going to worry about land and not giving away national treasures that, by the way, and I'm going to finish it with this, do not benefit the Albanian people. Why is that? Brother, I travel the world. I've been to Aruba. I've been everywhere. I've been to Mecca. You name it on vacation. Puerto Rico. You name it. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, God. Brother, they have beautiful resorts there. The people are still living in poverty. That's not going to fix the Albanian economy. If he made it a national park, that would bring in more tourists. They want to make it a place for the rich and famous. They want to make it Epstein's Island Part 2.
Wow.
Okay, it has bunkers. It has bunkers. You know that. Mm-hmm. Cold War bunkers. So... what, you're going to make it $1,000 a night? What Albanian, Bosnian, or Serbian can afford that? So that not only the people of Albania, no one in the Balkans can afford those rates. No one's against development, but not something of that size, not something of that magnitude, not something that's that precious without the consideration of the people of Albania that have bled generation after generation to preserve their identity.
What kind of checks and balances are there, or is it just one man's signature and it's
basically
done?
From what it looks like, it was just a deal done.
Backdoor
back
deal?
Doors, papa. Oh, so it's going to be great. They tried to sell it. They tried to sell it to the people.
There's no committee. There's no...
no vote, nothing.
Nothing? No. So then how do you reverse that? Is that already done?
So what the reversing is Eddie Rama's going to be... It's starting to get violent right now, unfortunately. I'm starting to see riots starting to happen. It's been 30-plus days already. Non-stop. Every day they march. Youngest population in Europe marching every single day. It doesn't even matter if Eddie Rama goes. They say they're wanting them all out. They want the entire government out. And I don't blame the youth, man. God bless you, Flamingo Revolution. I'm with you. I've tried to be their voice out here. I'm not a part. I don't know who organizes it. I don't think there's an official leader of it. It's literally completely organic. He was trying to make it sound like the Iranians are stirring. Bro, the Iranians are worrying about getting blown up by America right now. They don't got time to worry about little Albania. That was like his initial lie to try to like calm it down. It's gone. He's done. Yo, Eddie Rama, you're done, bro. You're finished. You're cooked, bro. You should leave Albania while you can. You should look at all the other dictators like Maduro and Bashar al-Assad. They all had to leave. Your time's coming, bro. I hope you enjoyed it, man. I hope you ate enough and got that belly fat. If I was you, I would start seeking political asylum right now while you can. Because the way I know my people, very stubborn, bro. Once they start, you got to kill them, bro. They don't stop. So I think change is coming to Albania. My fear is outside forces, intelligence agencies, inserting whoever the new leader is going to be, because I don't see how Eddie Rama survives this. I don't think he survives this. Mm-hmm. I don't think he survives and stays in power. He's arrogant enough to think so. But
what's
I don't
his
think,
term? When does it end?
I'm not. He's been in power for 13 years already.
13 years.
Okay. I think he doesn't realize that he's finished, bro. But he's done.
Is there now where the re-elections are coming? Or
I'm not too sure. Like I said, I haven't been back in 10 years, man. I haven't been back in 10 years, and I would love to go back, but right now it's a little chaotic. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about what's happening in Bosnia? You got the same group that's funding. Why are they?
So yeah, let's cover that. So my dad's side's from Kosovo, right? Yeah. And Kosovo, you know, was basically a part of Albania until after the fall of the Ottoman Empire. After the Ottoman Empire collapsed, the Serbs got a lot of power, and they were able to create Yugoslavia and blah blah blah. And we're not Slavic, bro. Nothing against our Bosnian brothers or we're not Slavic, bro. We don't speak Slavic. We never belonged in Yugoslavia. We're not Slavic. But we were incorporated, you know, a piece of our land was put into there, a piece was put into Macedonia, a small piece of Montenegro, and 20% of Greece, you know. But it worked for a while, right? But they didn't treat us good, brother. There was the rounding up of the Albanians. They were marched up in, I think it was Belgrade. There's pictures of this, bro. They marched the Albanians, bro. And they didn't care if they were Muslim or Christian. So, you know, very bloody history there in Kosovo.
There used to be, you know, 200 masjid over in Belgrade before.
Now there's, before, I think, one. Wow. So, you know, what happened, you know, there was horrible. Bosnians, man, you know, my heart goes out to your people. Straight up. You guys got the brunt of it, man. I mean, you know, we tried civil disobedience. You guys didn't really have a choice. You guys didn't really have a choice, man. You guys said we'd like to be free, and that was it. They just started killing you guys like crazy. That's how I started my activism as a child, was knowing, you know, that the Bosnians were being murdered and there's an arms embargo on them and they're not allowed to buy weapons. At the same time, you know that it was training the Bosnian Serb forces. You do know this.
Well, yeah. Many people don't know that. Yeah. Wow.
You knew this. I'm sure you did.
Somewhat, yeah.
Literally trained the Bosnian Serbian military, paramilitary, and armed them during the Bosnian War, which means de facto the United States of America, through because they share technology and weapons and money. If we're giving them money for the military, what does that mean? So de facto, my nation here, again, had blood on its hand during the Bosnian War. They trained people like Arkan, okay? All right? They call him a hero. This is a guy that massacred innocent women and children. You know, he's got to sleep at night. And if someone did it on our side, I would condemn them too, bro. Because that's what Islam teaches us. If there's a battle for defense, you have to protect yourself. There's rules. Do not exceed the boundaries. Do not harm women. Do not harm children. Do not cut down trees. Don't attack monks. Don't attack churches.
Bosnia is a great example of not just hearing that, but in practicality, the churches are still standing while the masjids
were completely bullet riddled and hit with rockets and mortars.
They're just destroyed over six.
And did the same thing in Kosovo.
Yeah.
And there was some Albanians, unfortunately, after Kosovo was liberated, they went on top of the Orthodox churches and pulled some of them. They were not supposed to do that, especially if they were Muslim. But again, we have a mixed religion there, but not supposed to do that, regardless. But their fear was they would come back, and I don't know. But they weren't supposed to do that. And we have a lot of respect. I have a lot of respect for the Orthodox Christians. And they've been having our backs too, man. Look at the Armenians. They're speaking out against all this stuff right now that's going on. And they're also being hurt by... They sold the weapons to Azerbaijan. So it seems like they seem to be behind all these weapons deals, creating conflicts all over the world. And I think, de facto, they're getting ready to start a war in the Balkans again.
You think so?
Yes. You explain to me why America's greatest ally would go and arm Serbia, and no offense to the Serbs, I'm just going to call it how it is. Why America's greatest ally would go and sell weapons to Serbia, drone technology, $1.6 billion. Because the next war is all drones, bro. Drones. There's going to be very little machine guns. You've seen the videos of Ukraine. Soldiers, there's nowhere to hide, bro. That drone finds you, you're dead. So $1.6 billion weapons deal, okay, to Serbia.
How much?
You can pull it up. It's public information. Iblis Systems, $1.6 billion. Deal signed, done, delivered. They're already working together. Then Netanyahu goes and meets with the Bosnian Serbs and Republika Srpska. They're getting ready to start a war, bro. Not beneficial to the Serbian people or the Albanians or the Bosnians because they need a distraction. They need a distraction right now. They need to flare something up in Europe. This is my opinion. If you see war in the Balkans in the next year or two, remember who sold the weapons. Remember who visited who, where they went, why they went, because it won't be by accident. But I would say to the people of the Balkans, do not take their bait. They want to keep their puppets in power. That's what they need. They don't care. They'll start a war just to keep Vucic in power, Edi Rama in power. You understand? They'll do that because they don't care about their citizens. These people don't think in terms of sovereignty. They want the people to think in terms of sovereignty. They want the Serb and the Albanian to think, this is my land, this is my boundary, this is my border, I'll die for this. Those bastards just want you guys to kill each other so a war breaks out and they can stay in power. Mm-hmm. Don't take the bait, people of the Balkans. We've seen enough blood, enough hatred. Accept the status quo. Recognize the Republic of Kosovo. If you're Serbian, come visit whenever you want. No one's going to touch you, dude. But you can't say you're going to keep it after everything you did. I witnessed it myself, man. They want to sit here and rewrite history. Bro, they treated our people like shit, bro. And what they forget to mention, the Albanians weren't even asking for independence, bro. Even though we consider Kosovo northern Albania. If you go look at the history, if you go look at the very well-documented protests before things got out of hand, all the Albanians were asking for in Kosovo was for their autonomy to be restored under Tito. Tito gave Kosovo the right to govern itself. So it wasn't one of the republics in the federation, but they were allowed to have their own, you know, rule under, you know, Yugoslavia. When Milosevic came in power, he took away the right to self-govern. And he brutal crackdown. Brutal. It's all documented. And you still, you know this, and you say, so even if what the Serbs said is true, that it's their home place and it's their birthplace of their nation, which historically that's impossible. You're a Slavic-speaking people. Any historian can verify this. You started coming to that part. You're called Southern Slavs. That means there was Northern Slavs. Southern Slavs. Yugoslavia means Southern Slavs. Albanians are not Slavic, brother. And it's nothing against Slavs. They're not indigenous to that region. They had to migrate west. This is just simple history. Okay? Where do we come? We just fall from the sky? Look at my head, bro. I look like a freaking caveman, bro. What, would you just drop from the clouds? So their theories, their mythology is very easily debunked. Albanians also fought side by side with the Serbs when the Ottoman Empire invaded. This is also very well documented. So they weren't the only ones in the Battle of Kosovo fighting. The Albanians also stood with them because Albanians were also Orthodox and Catholic. And so it's just the way they manipulate the history. But I would say even if they believe their own nonsense, even if they believe that nonsense, that it's their cradle and they deserve it, okay, cool. What you did after, you don't deserve it no more. You lost the right to ever govern that place again. You treated the people that lived there like complete animals. You massacred men, women, and children, and you think you have a right to come and govern again. And I challenge anyone, go study the history of Kosovo. The Albanians, originally, all they were asking for was autonomy. They wanted the same rights that they enjoyed under Tito restored. That's it. And if it was always a part of Serbia, then why did Tito give it its own right to govern itself? Because he knew it would be the tinder. It would be the spark that could set the whole thing on fire. Mm. So why would he give us special treatment if it was always a part of Serbia? Does that make sense to you? You would not give them special ruling under Serb control. So easily debunked, easily verifiable. Easily they can ask themselves, if all we wanted was the autonomy back, then most of us should have gave us the right to treat us like human beings again. They fired everyone from their jobs. Treated them like... So it's like, you did these things, you killed people. We still don't know where people's bodies are. You raped people, women. And now you think you have a right to come and govern again? You lost the right to govern. That's finished. Even with your debunked history. But what I think they're going to do, they're going to start a war. They're going to start a war. And I don't even blame the Serbs. I blame the people behind the curtain. Okay? I blame the people. Most people don't have any absorbing of information. Or their memories are 20-second TikTok. Right? You got to, well, to understand what's going on, there's so many moving pieces. You got to see the whole mosaic. And most of our brothers and sisters in humanity can only see one or two tiles, or maybe 20 tiles or 50 tiles. But very few can see the entire mosaic. And I do believe faith helps you see the entire mosaic to understand. You have to understand the unseen just as much as the world that you can see. You got to have knowledge of both.
Isn't it unbelievable that many of these people, I mean, they love to jump on the fake news when Trump is out there, you know, mentioning it, but then they'll swallow everything and they think like a Muslim bad, Islam bad, get rid of Muslim, Islam, everything will be okay. And when it comes to this part, you know, they'll swallow everything. But as far as when they've been programmed so much that they feel like this is the solution. That's all they're focusing on, mainly. But all these other things, you know, they just immune to it.
You know, you got the Laura Loomers. You got the Randy Fines. You got the Jake Langs, right? Which me and Sonny... My boy Sonny Faz.
He showed up at the center there, the Dean Center. He put a topi on and a chemise, and he came in and said he infiltrated. It was live stream, so it was a gratitude to God. That was the theme. And then he went online saying, you know, that there were military eight-style men lying and then asking for money.
Clearly, in my opinion, he's intelligence. Yeah. 100%. In my opinion. In my opinion, he's either paid or he's intelligence to create chaos in America. The way he speaks of African-Americans, the way he targeted, they almost beat the crap out of him in L.A. They almost, in Minnesota, he did the same thing. They almost killed him. It was a Muslim that saved him. So imagine, he's so disrespectful to the same faith that saved his ancestors, the same religion that, if it wasn't for Islam, I don't think there'd be any Jews left in the world, bro. 100%, in my opinion, if it wasn't for the religion of Islam, the Christians would have exterminated the Jews completely.
This, sincere Jewish academics, David Warenstein, says Islam saved the Jewry. I mean, this is, we can put this up.
My friend, if it's in our doctrine to hate Jews, then why did Omar al-Khattab, peace, you know, may Allah be pleased with him, why did the second king of the Muslims, only 6 years after the life of the Prophet Muhammad, make it a mission to bring Israelites, Jews, and resettle them back in Jerusalem when they were not allowed to live in that city for 500 years during Christian rule? 500 years they were not allowed to live in Jerusalem. The first thing the Muslims did was bring them back. Imagine. All the things you're worried about as a new ruler of a new area is, well, there's no Jews here. You know, I guess we need some accountants and some lawyers. I guess that was his thinking. You know, we need some accountants and lawyers. Bring us 80 families. They flourished under the Muslims. I understand from a pride and ego perspective, well, that's because we were still under rule. Like, you know, there's that pride, you know, that part of your ego where you say, but no one should rule us. And I could kind of understand that. I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't. You can't be a Bosnian or an Albanian or anybody and not understand that part of the Jewish dilemma, right? I get it. But at the same time, you were ousted by the Christians. You were never kicked out by the Muslims. The Muslims take control. You get massacred again by your Christians because Judeo-Christian is such an accurate term. Judeo-Christian, when I hear that word put together, Judeo-Christian, I laugh. I laugh and I cry because I think of Judaism and Christianity and how they've always massacred the Jews wherever they could. They used to come, the kings, and take almost 90% of their wealth in Europe. You know that, right? Overnight. We need money, take all their stuff. They treated them like dogs. You think that was Hitler that made them wear the star? They were doing that to that in medieval times. They were doing that to the Jews. Where did the Jews always go? To the Muslims. Who always protected them? The Muslims. Who treated them like human beings? Let them have their own self-governance, their Muslims. Own courts? The Muslims. Who took them as some of their best advisors and prime ministers and people to, like, you know, be a part of the empires? The Muslims. When the Holocaust happened, who saved them? The Muslims. When the Inquisition happened, where did they flee to? The Muslims. Where did they have a beautiful golden age? In Andalusia, it was like heaven on earth with the Muslims. People talk about Spain. First of all, it was called the Kingdom of Goth. The Muslims didn't invade. Even I fell victim to that, thinking that we invaded. I was like, why did we invade? They invited them because the Goth kingdom was having a civil war. Half the kingdom didn't recognize the other kingdom. They were like, no, that guy's not the king. Hey, Muslims, come over here, help us. So half of them were like, screw these guys. Invite the Moroccans in. That's how I didn't know that. They conquer the Goth kingdom, and then they let all three faiths practice in peace. Literally pulled Europe out of the Dark Ages. They said it was literally heaven on earth. The Jews in their own books talk about this history. Their own authors. Are they anti-Semitic?
The Golden Age,
yeah. I guess those Jews were anti-Semitic. So to me, this game that they play, the double speak that we read about in George Orwell's books, right? Double speak. To call someone that defends Palestinians anti-Semitic when the Palestinians are Semitic, to me is like you have to be an idiot or a retard. God forgive me for using that word, but or a moron to not see the game. And who owns the media and who pushes these agendas and who controls the algorithms and everything you see is hate Muslims, kill Muslims, hate Muslims, kill Muslims. And they own it. What do you think? What do you think? You don't see the game that's being played on you? Every scroll you do left or right is anti-Muslim in nature. Why? Because they own these companies. They own these medias. So I just wish the average American, average person that lives in the world would listen to this episode because I think we covered a lot here, man. And really, I dare you. I beg you, go look. Go see if I've lied. Go see if I've pushed it towards being favorable towards me and this and that. Now, to be fair, the Muslims, we deserve some of what's happening to us. Some of it. Some of it we deserve. 2 billion people, bro. 2 billion people. What does God say in our book? What does he say in our book about the conditions of people? What does he say in the book, Eddie? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran? What does he say? I will not change what?
Condition of a people.
Until they what? We need to look in the mirror.
Change ourselves.
We need to look in the mirror. What did the Prophet say, peace and blessings be upon, when he said, surely none of you have faith unless what? Unless you want for your brother what you want for yourself. The Muslims are not living like that. There's some Muslims out there. Yeah, I've met them. Brother, I've been in the faith my whole life. I'm not like Sonny. Sonny, mashallah, bro, people were like him, we probably could have went to Mars by now. We would have beat Elon Musk to Mars if people had the kind of heart that Sonny has. You know, kid's been in the faith 2 years, bro. He's the real deal, dude. May Allah accept it from him and keep him. Keep him on this because a lot of us, when we first experience the truth, it's like it shocks us so much that we want to be as perfect as we can be. And then you get Muslim fatigue, right? It's not easy praying 5 times a day. I'm going to be real. But it's easy when your faith is strong, right? It can be an inconvenience at times. But to me now, in my wisdom growing up, man, I look forward to that prayer, bro. You know, how much life can beat you down, especially the kind of work we do, man. I look forward to every prayer, bro. It literally, it's like, where I used to, like, in my younger years, look at it like, I'm going to be real, man, because there's young people watching this too. In my younger years, I felt like a burden. I'm like, man, and you're busy, you're in college, and you're being an idiot. But as you grow up and you start to understand the faith and what it does and why it has this order to it, man, I would not have made it through my life without praying. The amount of things I've been through, most people would be on drugs by now. Most people were on drugs. The anxiety, the stress, you lose a family member, the money's no good, the problems in the marriage, whatever it is, you put your head on the ground and then you remember those that came before us, those great prophets that went through our worst nightmares, man. And somehow you're like, alhamdulillah. Life is beautiful in its own way. It's scary as hell, but it's that light, man. It's that compass that just guides you. And when things go wrong, you put your head on that ground and you know you're not alone. And you could be the most loneliest person on earth. You could have no friends. There's some people out there, unfortunately, if we were living as Muslims, we would know if our brothers are sad or not, or our sisters. We would knock on their doors and we would check in on people. But we've all become too obsessed and consumed by the dunya, by the life of this world, the material world, that we forget our brothers, our sisters, our own family members. So may Allah forgive all of us. I speak for myself first. May Allah forgive me if I've neglected anyone in my family, pursuing work or whatever it is, even my own children, because they do have rights on us. And I feel many times that I have failed as a son, as a dad, as a husband. I take full accountability, and I apologize to anyone I've ever hurt in my life, friends in the past. You know, sometimes you're young and you're stupid, man. We both come from nightlife backgrounds. I was out there. They had a good time. We're not going to get into all that, but stuck for the law, bro. The price that you pay for that fun is not worth it. The emptiness that it brings to your life, the path of destruction it puts you on, the promise of poverty and problems in your life is not worth it. And protecting your chastity, protecting your morals, it's so worth it, man. It is so worth it. If you're young out there, and I understand, and like they have it worse than we ever did, Eddie. People are more promiscuous than ever. These dating apps are not even to date anymore, man. They literally, just through the app, they meet. They never even had dinner. At least in our generation, dinner, dates, and then they would do haram, astaghfirullah. In today's world, literally these dating, from what I'm understanding now, these Tinders, and this, it's not even to date anymore, bro. They just go right to the zina, man. Right to it. So me and you, we remember a world without the internet. Okay? And I should have known, because I'll never forget, the first time I heard this sound, I'm like, man, this thing kind of sounds kind of like scary. Like, plug it in, right? The phone cord. It sounds demonic, like you're going into a different dimension, you know, when you're entering the internet. Mm-hmm. You remember that sound?
Yes, yeah.
And then if you were stupid enough like I was, you leave your speakers on, and you got mail, full blast. Remember AOL when you first got on? It was like, welcome. My dad, you know, we had to go to bed at a certain time. My dad was a strong Albanian dad, bro. Bro, one night, I was going to go chat. I wasn't supposed to be up past bedtime. You had to sneak into the living room. 50-foot phone cord, bro. Mm-hmm. Wallahi, the phone cord. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Across the living room, plug the phone in. Get back to my room, wood floor, without waking up my dad.
Mm-hmm.
I get in, and now I have to worry about the sound of the modem, right? It's loud, bro. 3 o'clock in the morning. I get on Albanian chat room, because all the Albanians would talk. I'm sure the Bosnians have their own rooms. I get on. As soon as it goes, you got... I had left the speaker on. My father came out of that room, bro. And that 50-foot phone cord, I got a good taste of it, bro. It wasn't used for the internet in that moment. It was used for my ass. But what I'm saying is, to see filth, to see things that could destroy your mind, you could place your child into a box, not give them a phone, not give them access to internet. But if they step foot just outside, the fitna is right there. Even if you were to shield your children completely with no phone, me and you, God forbid, to see something disgusting. Parents had to be not home. VCR tape. Put the tape in and hope that they don't come home and catch you if you wanted to do something wrong. Today's world, even if you don't give your kid a phone and they go to school, all it takes is, hey, Jimmy, look at this. And their innocence is gone.
Gross.
Their morality is gone in seconds. The damage done to them is irreversible. They saw what they shouldn't have seen. So the challenge of being a parent in today's world and the fitna that we are facing, it's terrifying. And I don't know how people think they can get through this without Allah. So we're in those times, my brother Eddie. It's scary. Allah knows best. I think we're in fourth quarter. I never thought we might see the jaw. There's a chance we might see him, bro. I don't know. Allah knows. I'm not here to be a fortune teller until only Allah knows. But based on where me and you started as children, and how fast it's gotten to here, I've seen a disappearing of beautiful traditions, which made people beautiful, their cultures, the welcoming of the guest. It's been a while since someone received me the way you did, bro. That's how it was. Someone shows up, boom, boom, the tray, the coffee, the respect. How's your family? You had a conversation. You always had stuff on the side because you never knew who would come over. And here I am, more popular than ever, famous, hundreds of thousands of followers. My phone never rings from the people that I actually want to hear from. So the breakdown of family has happened, even with those of us that have morals. And these are the things we need to fight and to hold on to. And the faith does help us hold on to it. but we're not following the faith the way we should be. Our family has rights. Our children have rights. Our neighbors have rights. Our fellow Americans, even if they're not Muslim, they have rights. And if they came to us, they should know that we will help them. Just like when that whole thing happened with the baby formula.
Remember right? that? Yeah.
The lady's calling up all the churches. Okay? What did the Muslim say? The Muslim didn't care if she was Christian, Muslim. She said, where your babies are, where are you? Come now.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell the American, if they're by chance watching this show, we're not what they tell you. We're not the way they make us look in movies. Ask yourself, who owns these apparatus? Why is it to their advantage to dehumanize entire groups of people? And the biggest mistake the Israelis did, in my opinion, the extremists, because not all of them are evil, is why did they go after the whole religion? What a stupid move that was. They should have just went after the Arabs. They decided to go after the whole faith. But I got a newsflash for you. The religion comes with all colors and races, Bosnian, Albanian, American. I met Mexican Muslims yesterday. Why wouldn't you, and you guys are so smart, supposedly, you should have just went after, because that's what they want. They want the Middle East. Some of them want the whole world, right? So they would have been much better strategy just to attack the Arabs. Stupid that they went after the entire faith. These are very easily verifiable. Okay, I don't trust the computers anyway, because I believe one day, really, they're just going to hit a switch and all the information is going to change. I think people should start making copy of books. I think people should start burying books. Wallahi, bro. I think there'll be a day where you can't even get books, bro. It'll all be digital. They push one button, all the history's changed forever. Imagine if enough of us died, they could alter the entire past digitally and the future generations of humanity wouldn't know about the past. I think people should get the most important books just as a backup for humanity and bury some of these books, because I think there will be a day where people won't have books. We know that the Quran will right, towards the end of time. There's going to be a day where people open up the book and the page, right? Is that one of the signs, if I'm not mistaken?
The removal of the righteous people. Also.
And the book itself. So it's scary, the world we're going into. It's not easy to be a parent. It's terrifying to be a parent. My number one prayer to God besides salvation is please just guide them, because I don't have the power. I don't. We think we have the power. No, we don't. We need him to guide the same way he saved me. Brother Eddie, I was on the wrong path for a while, bro. Like, yeah, I was like you. I got out of nightlife, but I kind of went back in, bro. I fell off for a while. And it's always that peer pressure, you know, family, this, that. So I had knowledge and I fell off the path, which is worse than if you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So the temptations are great out there. You have to minimize your risk spiritually. You have to understand how this works and how it can destroy your life. And it took a few people dying for me to change, bro. It took people dying for me to wake up again. Because once you lose your deen, you never know if you get it back. So to not lose your deen, you got to watch the deen show, bro. You got to watch the deen show. It's the only way you're going to protect your deen, dude, besides reading the Quran and all that stuff. But we need to put good information into the brain. So that time period where I fell off the path, very dark, Eddie. You know, it's different when you have the knowledge. And I don't want to talk about my sins. But I think the only reason if you would have told me, Eddie, Redzvich, I said it right? If you would have told me, I'd be speaking. I never went to make content to talk about Islam, bro. I never wanted to speak about it because I knew the backlash of the work that you do and how dangerous it is. It's dangerous, bro. Okay? People need to support you more. Okay? Very dangerous, the work that you do. Okay? Risking your life, your freedom, and everything. And I don't know. If they don't understand, hey, I'm here to tell you. Okay? So, but after the shutdowns of 2019, and I know what's coming, and I know why that lockdown happened, and I know what the game plan is, and so do a lot of Americans that are not even Muslim, they're waking up. I focused my energy on building the bridge with the Christians. Not to convert them, not to make them believe, because I believe you choose your own path. Allah guides and who he does. My job is to deliver the message. The message is, we're not your enemies. We don't hate you. We believe Christ is going to return. Jesus, peace be upon him, Isa is going to come. When he comes, he could tell Muslims, you were right. Christians, you were wrong. Christians, you were right. Muslims, you were wrong. Let him tell us. We both believe he's coming, right? So if he's coming back down, how simple is this, my Christian brothers and sisters? When the master returns, he can tell us, you guys were wrong. I wasn't God. I ate. I drank, I farted, I used the bathroom, I prayed because I was scared. I put my head on the ground. My mom dressed like the Muslims. You know, he could tell you who's right or wrong. Until then, let's focus on what is wrong right now. Those that are pushing filth on our children. Those that wish to deceive the world. Those that make chaos and fitna and create harm to all different groups of people, whether it be Albanians, Armenians, Serbians, Albanians, they create chaos on the earth. There's no reason for us in 2026 that we can't elevate with all of this technology, and yet humanity still hasn't gotten better. We're still killing each other. Right now you have Ukrainian and Orthodox Christians, Ukrainian and Russian killing each other, and Zelensky's not even Orthodox. What else you want to know? So if I was Russian and Ukrainian, I would say, hey, we might be a little bit different, but we're supposed to both believe in Christ and their faith. It's like me, imagine two same Muslims killing each other, man. Even Sunni Shia was wrong. Horrible. Horrific. Condemn it. But imagine two of the same sect going at it. So this is what's going on. The agenda is not even just about Islam. It's to wipe religion off the earth. It's to create godlessness, filth, the new Babylon. That's what this is all about. And I think the final part of it is to try to deceive humanity that we were created by aliens. When you study Aleister Crowley, Jack Parsons even said the word Dajjal. That's how he got the rocket, right? I saw that clip from Hamza Yusuf. He took me down that wormhole. So, and it's real. We know that Pharaoh used black magic. We have to believe in black magic as Muslims. This is not tech. This is magic. This tech, this knowledge was passed through the jinn, is my true opinion. It was. Through the jinn, because they lived longer on earth. They have different talents and gifts that Allah gave them. And somehow these human beings that worship them as gods got this information and created. Wow, you ever look at a computer chip? That looks alien to me. We as Muslims believe that we were the last creation of Allah to come on the earth, to become the Khalifa. Mm-hmm. But the jinn were here, right? Yeah. So when they're explaining Anunnaki and all this stuff, we know that they're talking about the jinn. No one describes it better than us. That episode that I did with Danny Jones went bananas. Forgive me for cursing here and there in that episode. But again, I was very, you know, like I said, I'm not an imam. May Allah forgive me. I made many mistakes. I hope he, you know, forgives me for it. I always watch my language on the Muslim shows. I'm trying to watch it everywhere I go because that's a lot of, bro, millions of views are stuck for the law. So believe me, I understand the scales. I'm not downplaying it at all. I just hope the Muslims forgive me. Pray for me because I'm going to need that many prayers to probably make up for that. But those episodes, bro, and again, I always say theory and my understanding, and please, it's enough to make people look. Every day I get messages from across the world. I no longer hate Arabs because of you. I no longer hate Muslims because of you. I'm buying a Quran because of you. I can show you them, but I got thousands of them. So I was like, okay, I know I'm making some mistakes, but I feel like I hope that Allah accepts for me the good and forgives me for the bad because that's not my intention. And I know I need to work on a lot of things. And I just hope that all of you that are watching this, and especially you, Brother Eddie, that will pray for me, and that I just hope he accepts 1% of what I've done, bro. It's one of my greatest fears. And you have to check your niya, but I know my niya is good for one reason and one reason only, because me and Sonny Faz, we always worry about it, man. We've had these conversations over and over again. I know, I think I'm okay because I never wanted to talk about this. I started a podcast 7 years ago. I was interviewing fun people, Carol Baskin from Tiger King and Havoc of Mobb Deep and Rachel Ray, the cook. So I had a great network because of nightlife. And I never went into content creation to speak about these topics. It was more to be, if you go look at those episodes, I mean, stuck for a lot. They weren't, you know, great content as a Muslim. They weren't horrible. Majority was interviewing people about their life. And I do want to do it, but now I want to do it better, more professional. But it wasn't I never wanted to talk about politics or religion because you know how chaotic that is. It becomes very chaotic. So first and foremost, I want to say, as a Muslim American, as an Albanian American, brother, you've been doing this for over 20 years. You're one of, in my opinion, again, they always say it's not good to compliment a brother to their face in our faith, right? But everyone knows, I've mentioned you many times on my shows, what you've done for the space, I look at you as one of my mentors, even though we're pretty much the same age, I think. But you're light years ahead of what I've even attempted to do. You've impacted this community here in America and the world in ways that I hope Allah accepts from you. I'm probably moving down to the Tampa area, so Allah is the best of planners. I made intention for Dallas, but I don't think it's happening. And the fact that you have your center down there, I'm very excited about that. It makes me even happier and feel even better that I might be. That's probably where I'm going, brother. I want to get out of New York and give my kids a little beach and this and that before who knows what's coming. But I just want to personally thank you, even if I never see you again, to your face. I don't know if you understand how important what you've done is. It's impacted me. I have watched many of your videos. I have learned from you throughout the years. I just want to admit that publicly.
Thank you.
So any good you saw came from this guy, any bad, a'udhu billah, came from shaitan, but may Allah accept everything that we're trying to do, and the time to be quiet is over. Every Muslim has a duty to speak right now. I think it should be farred. I think a fatwa needs to be made. Yasser Qadhi did it. Yasser Qadhi said straight up, I hope they don't, you know, they're not going to stop. So the time to speak is now. Do not be scared of your neighbor. I did it a lot after 9/11. I was in the World Trade Center. I don't know if you know that. I was underneath the World Trade Center when I got hit. Was I not a victim that day too? I watched my fellow Americans die. I cried for months after that. I witnessed people disintegrate in front of me in real life. So, but I remember after 9/11, because and I hate to say it, but everything's become about race and color, and Islam cures that.
Yeah.
Islam's the only cure for that, proven. I would purposely, if I had good encounters with people, because of how much negativity was being pumped out, I would, like, if I had good encounter, like, by the way, I just want you to know something, like, I'm a Muslim. I would tell them flat out. Wallahi, flat out. I always did dawah on my own way, and maybe that's why Allah didn't let me perish, man, when I fell off the path. Either that or some Bangladeshi or Pakistani cab drivers that used to pray for me, because I used to tell them when I'd be coming back from doing the wrong thing, oh, I know I'm wrong, but your heart dies when you sin, Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes numb. It'd be as if you never prayed or never knew anything about Islam. Spirit, that's why I tell people, if you're on the deen, don't be lazy with your prayers.
No.
Okay? Hold the five pillars with everything you got, because once you lose it, it can take years to get it back.
Scary, yeah.
I really think I'm still here because of some Pakistani and Bangladeshi brothers praying for me in their cabs, bro. Wallahi. I would come back from doing what I shouldn't be doing, and I would see their name, bro. Muhammad Abdullah. You know? And I'd be like, brother, where are you from, Bangladesh? Brother, I know I'm wrong, but my heart's dead. I don't feel it anymore. My heart died, you know, because I was doing the haram, bro. I was doing the wrong. Heart dead. Dead. It was as if I knew nothing about the faith, but I knew. I still had the intellect. That's why I truly believe Muslim, like it says, that we think with our hearts, because the heart's what makes you do something. You feel it here, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, you know, but I think it's the heart that makes action happen. I really believe that. I think our faith says that. So I would beg these brothers, please pray for me, man. Pray for me, brother. I know I'm wrong, but I don't feel. I can't even go to a mosque in this condition. Pray for. I really think I'm here because of them, bro. So never give up on yourself. And that. What does that also say? You know you're on the wrong path. Ask your brother to help you. Ask your fellow Muslim. Hey, I'm in trouble. I know I'm wrong. What do I? Don't be embarrassed, man. No one can judge you but Allah. Go to your brother and your sister if you're on the wrong path. And you have a duty when you see them on the wrong path, not to yell at them. Not to make them, because you're going to make them, because you know, when people are on the wrong path, man, they get even more angry because they know they're wrong. So it upsets them. You already know you're wrong. I knew I was wrong. But you can fall off the path. But look, I'm proof. It's never over. Okay, Allah could have took me when I was in that state. He could have took me when I was praying. He could have took me when I fell off the path. He gave me another chance. It's never over to your last breath. And hopefully your last breath is, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. It's never over. So even if you had 30 years of filth, what is our God, Eddie? The most merciful. Beyond your comprehension when it comes to mercy. To judge yourself is to say you have more knowledge than him. Never fall into despair. Always know that you can start right now. I don't care if you drank last night. I don't care if you committed zina, that you should never. It's the worst thing you can do. Today, you can start all over again just by washing right now, and get on your knees and beg your God to forgive you, and he will. That's my message, man. That's not our message.
Yes.
It's the message of the best of mankind, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
Did I talk enough today? Or are you good?
Alhamdulillah.
You good? Should we go? We can save it for next time, because I'll go on forever, bro. Don't worry.
No, thank you, bro.
Not forever, because Allah is only one. But you know what I mean.
So this is Beck Lover. Where could people, if they want to see some of...
If they're crazy enough to follow me, they can go to beklover.com or at beklovernyc. We do a lot of content, me and Sonny Faz. You can also join the companions.club. The companions is our fraternity. We have brothers and so you have one sitting over there. You know, we're doing the right thing, Eddie, man. We're trying to follow in your footsteps and build cool things for the Muslims, man.
Very nice.
And I'll see you in Chicago, great city. And I'll definitely, inshallah, see you in Tampa.
Tampa.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you for coming out.
I'll see you, my Balkan brothers. Salaam alaikum, everybody.
Salaam alaikum.
Is going to come. When he comes, he could tell Muslims, you were right. Christians, you were wrong. Christians, you were right. Muslims, you were wrong. Let him tell us. We both believe he's coming, right? So if he's coming back down, how simple is this, my Christian brothers and sisters? When the master returns, he can tell us, you guys were wrong. I wasn't God. I ate. I drank. I farted. I used the bathroom. I prayed because I was scared. I put my head on the ground. My mom dressed like the Muslims. You know, he could tell you who's right or wrong. Until then, let's focus on what is wrong right now. Those that are pushing filth on our children. Those that wish to deceive the world. Those that make chaos and fitna and create harm to all different groups of people, whether it be Albanians, Armenians, Serbians, Albanians. They create chaos on the earth. There's no reason for us in 2026 that we can't elevate with all of this technology, and yet humanity still hasn't gotten better. We're still killing each other. Right now you have Ukrainian and Orthodox Christians, Ukrainian and Russian killing each other, and Zelensky's not even Orthodox. What else you want to know? So if I was Russian and Ukrainian, I would say, hey, we might be a little bit different, but we're supposed to both believe in Christ and their faith. It's like me, imagine two same Muslims killing each other, man. Even Sunni Shia was wrong. Horrible. Horrific. Condemn it. But imagine two of the same sect going at it. So this is what's going on. The agenda is not even just about Islam. It's to wipe religion off the earth. It's to create godlessness, filth, the new Babylon. That's what this is all about. And I think the final... part of it is to try to deceive humanity that we were created by aliens. When you study Aleister Crowley, Jack Parsons even said the word Dajjal. That's how he got the rocket, right? I saw that clip from Hamza Yusuf. He took me down that wormhole. So, and it's real. We know that Pharaoh used black magic. We have to believe in black magic as Muslims. This is not tech. This is magic. This tech, this knowledge was passed through the jinn, is my true opinion. It was. Through the jinn, because they lived longer on earth, they have different talents and gifts that Allah gave them. And somehow these human beings that worship them as gods got this information and created... Wow, you ever look at a computer chip? That looks alien to me. We as Muslims believe that we were the last creation of Allah to come on the earth, to become the Khalifa. Mm-hmm. But the jinn were here, right? Yeah. So when they're explaining Anunnaki and all this stuff, we know that they're talking about the jinn. No one describes it better than us. That episode that I did with Danny Jones went bananas. Forgive me for cursing here and there in that episode. But again, I was very, you know, like I said, I'm not an imam. May Allah forgive me. I made many mistakes. I hope he, you know, forgives me for it. I always watch my language on the Muslim shows. I'm trying to watch it everywhere I go because that's a lot of, bro, millions of views are stuck for the law. So believe me, I understand the scales. I'm not downplaying it at all. I just hope the Muslims forgive me. Pray for me because I'm going to need that many prayers to probably make up for that. But those episodes, bro, and again, I always say theory and my understanding, and please, it's enough to make people look. Every day I get messages from across the world. I no longer hate Arabs because of you. I no longer hate Muslims because of you. I'm buying a Quran because of you. I can show you them, but I got thousands of them. So I was like, okay, I know I'm making some mistakes, but I feel like I hope that Allah accepts for me the good and forgives me for the bad because that's not my intention. And I know I need to work on a lot of things. And I just hope that all of you that are watching this, and especially you, Brother Eddie, that will pray for me, and that I just hope he accepts 1% of what I've done, bro. It's one of my greatest fears. And you have to check your niyyah. But I know my niyyah is good. for one reason and one reason only. Because me and Sonny Foz, we always worry about it, man. We've had these conversations over and over again. I know, I think I'm okay because I never wanted to talk about this. I started a podcast 7 years ago. I was interviewing fun people, Carol Baskin from Tiger King and Havoc of Mobb Deep and Rachel Ray, the cook. So I had a great network because of nightlife. And I never went into content creation to speak about these topics. It was more to be, if you go look at those episodes, I mean, stuck for a lot. They weren't, great content as a Muslim. They weren't horrible. Majority was interviewing people about their life. And I do want to do it, but now I want to do it better, more professional. But it wasn't I never wanted to talk about politics or religion because you know how chaotic that is. It becomes very chaotic. So first and foremost, I want to say, as a Muslim American, as an Albanian American, brother, you've been doing this for over 20 years. You're one of, in my opinion, again, they always say it's not good to compliment a brother to their face in our faith, right? But everyone knows, I've mentioned you many times on my shows, what you've done for the space. I look at you as one of my mentors, even though we're pretty much the same age, I think. But you're light years ahead of what I've even attempted to do. You've impacted this community here in America and the world in ways that I hope Allah accepts from you. I'm probably moving down to the Tampa area, so Allah's the best of planners. I made intention for Dallas, but I don't think it's happening. And the fact that you have your center down there, I'm very excited about that. It makes me even happier and feel even better that I might be. That's probably where I'm going, brother. I want to get out of New York and give my kids a little beach and this and that before who knows what's coming. But I just want to personally thank you, even if I never see you again, to your face. I don't know if you understand how important what you've done is. It's impacted me. I have watched many of your videos. I have learned from you throughout the years. I just want to admit that publicly.
Thank you.
So any good you saw came from this guy. Any bad, a'udhu billah, came from shaitan. But may Allah accept everything that we're trying to do. And the time to be quiet is over. Every Muslim has a duty to speak right now. I think it should be fard. I think a fatwa needs to be made. Yasser Qadhi did it. Yasser Qadhi said straight up, this beta, this, I hope they don't, they're not going to stop. So the time to speak is now. Do not be scared of your neighbor. I did it a lot after 9/11. I was in the World Trade Center. I don't know if you know that. I was underneath the World Trade Center when I got hit. Was I not a victim that day too? I watched my fellow Americans die. I cried for months after that. I witnessed people disintegrate in front of me in real life. So, but I remember after 9/11, because, and I hate to say, but everything's become about race and color, and Islam cures that.
Yeah.
Islam's the only cure for that, proven. I would purposely, if I had good encounters with people, because of how much negativity was being pumped out, I would, like, if I had good encounter, like, by the way, I just want you to know something, like, I'm a Muslim. I would tell them flat out. Mm-hmm. Wallahi, flat out. I always did that on my own way, and maybe that's why Allah didn't let me perish, man, when I fell off the path. Either that or some Bangladeshi or Pakistani cab drivers that used to pray for me, because I used to tell them when I'd be coming back from doing the wrong thing, oh, I know I'm wrong, but your heart dies when you sin, Eddie. Mm-hmm. It becomes numb. It'd be as if you never prayed or never knew anything about Islam. Spirit, that's why, yeah. I tell people, if you're on the deen, don't be lazy with your prayers.
No.
Okay? Hold the five pillars with everything you got, because once you lose it, it can take years to get it back.
Scary, yeah.
I really think I'm still here because of some Pakistani and Bangladeshi brothers praying for me in their cabs, bro. Wallahi. I would come back from doing what I shouldn't be doing, and I would see their name, bro. Muhammad Abdullah. And I'd be like, brother, where are you from, Bangladesh? Brother, I know I'm wrong, but my heart's dead. I don't feel it anymore. My heart died, because I was doing the haram, bro. I was doing the wrong. Heart dead. Dead. It was as if I knew nothing about the faith, but I knew. I still had the intellect. That's why I truly believe Muslim, like it says, that we think with our hearts, because the heart's what makes you do something. You feel it here, right? Yeah, but I think it's the heart that makes action happen. I really believe that. I think our faith says that. So I would beg these brothers, please pray for me, man. Pray for me, brother. I know I'm wrong, but I don't feel, I can't even go to a mosque in this condition. Pray for, I really think I'm here because of them, bro. So never give up on yourself. And that, what does that also say? You're on the wrong path. Ask your brother to help you. Ask your fellow Muslim, hey, I'm in trouble. I know I'm wrong. Don't be embarrassed, man. No one can judge you but Allah. Go to your brother and your sister if you're on the wrong path. And you have a duty when you see them on the wrong path, not to yell at them, not to make the, because you're going to make them, because you know, when people are on the wrong path, man, they get even more angry because they know they're wrong. So it upsets them. You already know you're wrong. I knew I was wrong. But you can fall off the path. But look, I'm proof. It's never over. Okay, Allah could have took me when I was in that state. He could have took me when I was praying. He could have took me when I fell off the path. He gave me another chance. It's never over to your last breath. And hopefully your last breath is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. It's never over. So even if you had 30 years of filth, what is our God, Eddie? The most merciful. Beyond your comprehension when it comes to mercy. To judge yourself is to say you have more knowledge than him. Never fall into despair. Always know that you can start right now. I don't care if you drank last night. I don't care if you committed zina, that you should never. It's the worst thing you can do. Today, you can start all over again just by washing right now and get on your knees and beg your God to forgive you, and he will. That's my message, man. That's not our message.
Yes.
It's the message of the best of mankind. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
Did I talk enough today, or are you good?
Alhamdulillah.
You good? Should we go? We can save it for next time, because I'll go on forever, bro. Don't worry.
No, thank you, bro.
Not forever, because Allah is only one, but you know what I mean.
So this is Beck Lover. Where could people, if they want to see some of...
If they're crazy enough to follow me, they can go to beklover.com or at beklovernyc. We do a lot of content, me and Sonny Faz. You can also join the companions.club. The Companions is our fraternity. We have brothers, and so you have one sitting over there. We're doing the right thing, Eddie, man. We're trying to follow in your footsteps and build cool things for the Muslims, man. And I'll see you in Chicago, great city, and I'll definitely, inshallah, see you in Tampa.
Tampa.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you for coming out.
I'll see you, my Balkan brothers. Salaam alaikum, everybody.
Salaam alaikum.